Strategic Hot Box with Dr. Brandi Love Stankovic, discussing leadership, business, and how to take control of your life and achieve greatness. From the streets of Las Vegas, energized, informed, and never diluted, it's time to kick some ass.
Welcome back to the Strategic Hot Box. Did you hear that intro? It's time to kick some ass. Are you ready for that? And we're going to talk today about the employee experience. What does that mean? What does it mean for us to have an experience in the jobs that we have? And how does that all impact it in the things that we do? Let's get started. Today in our segments, we've got the learn, we've got the love, and we've got the kick ass. In the learn, I'll set up the topic and talk a little bit about this employee experience thing, phenomenon that's happening. In our love segment, we'll have subject matter expert Heidi Lynn Kurter join us today, and she is global. So she's coming at us from Berlin, and she's going to talk a little bit about what this means from a human resource perspective. So employee experience is kind of this idea that really what the service experience has also come about, this importance of the employee experience. And what is it like to work for your organization? What's it like to work for you as a boss? And what do your employees think? What do you think about different, you know, just being in the organization day to day, or doing the work, or being with your clients, or being on the road, or being in your situations. Did you know that 69% of people looking for jobs actually get out and research and make sure and want an organization to have an active online and digital presence? So the brand of the organization builds into that employee culture. So people really want to work for organizations that are fun and that have a brand that's out there. And the reality is, a lot of decisions are based on the information that you have and recommendations that they may see from others. And I'm sure you've heard of sites like Glassdoor or other kind of Yelp type reviews of organizations and the internal side of organizations. And talent today isn't enough, or people that are looking for organizations, looking for positions, aren't always just looking for a particular job function. They're looking for an organization that aligns with them as human beings. And we spend a significant amount of time at work. And so being able to choose a job that has that alignment is really powerful. Now, in other markets and different places in the world, you may be experiencing different things. And we have a lot of international listeners. And for those of you, just getting a job might be part of that. But what does it mean when you do get that job? How does it feel? And what can you do, no matter the language, no matter the culture of the people that work for you, how can you make them feel more engaged? And how can a company use their personality, their brand, to be able to attract more high-performing leaders? So one of the pieces, or the first kind of right off the top, is making sure that you do have that online presence, or the online presence and digital brand are aligned with what that employee culture or experience is. And when an employee does find a good match, onboarding is the next big piece of that. How are we bringing them in? How are we loving them right off the bat? I was actually working with an institution just earlier this week that had a brand new employee that started on Monday, and the CEO took the employee out to lunch, and he normally would wait, you know, days down the road or that kind of thing. And he said, you know what? No way. First day, I'm going to take them out, let them know that they're important to this organization, they're important to the future success of the organization, and get to know that employee and let them have that good, strong first experience. I have some stats for you. 69% of employees are more likely to stay with a company for 3 years or more if they've experienced some good onboarding, if they have a good experience right off the bat. 60% of employees think employers are to blame if it doesn't happen, or if there is a skills gap between them and what they are supposed to be doing in their jobs. But 90% of employers think that they could do a better job. So 60% of employees and 90% of employers both believe that there's some work to do around getting employees the things that they need, skills, functions, jobs, just any resources, as well as having that really strong experience. Now, Zappos is a company here in Las Vegas that is known for having a really great employee experience, from extracurricular activities to very casual days to just having fun on the job. And they have onboarding as a big part of a new employee's arrival. And and really about helping them build and understand the culture to build teamwork within the organization and create lasting relationships, not only with the organization, with your teammates, the people that you're working with. And in the onboarding process, they train employees on delivering service, of course, as well as that deep cultural immersion into what is Zappos. And a lot of organizations are trying to model themselves after what Zappos has done over the years. And you may have heard of it, and I know that it's shifted throughout the years, but Zappos does have that payout, meaning at the 1 month anniversary, any new employee that's saying, you know what? This vibe, this organization just isn't for me, they'll actually give them $2,000 to leave. And I think that's a pretty fantastic idea. And not all organizations potentially could afford that. But can you afford to have somebody stay for the next 20 years and be useless or not have fun? I mean, if you really look at it, it's the benefit is there for having people that aren't in it to take off sooner rather than later. I'd like to bring in and introduce formally now our guest, Heidi Lynn Curter. She, as I mentioned, is a global HR consultant and is coming from us from across the globe now. And she's going to talk a little bit about the differences and similarities in employee experience and what we can learn potentially from different organizations across the globe. She has freelanced in Asia and in Europe and the United Kingdom, the United States, and she is also a former SHRM chapter president, so she's part of the HR world. She is a Six Sigma black belt, so she does not mess around when it comes to efficiency and effectiveness. She's a Forbes contributor, but also has been a published writer in Fast Company, MSN Money, Glassdoor, Bamboo HR, Entrepreneur. She knows her stuff. She's got her bachelor's in HR management and international business. Join me in welcoming Heidi. Hello, Heidi. How are you?
Doing well. How are you, Brandy?
Good. Can you give us a hello from German in German?
hello aus Deutschland.
All right. I love it. Thank you. And tell us a little bit about your journey in leadership.
Sure. So actually, I knew in the United States, we have something called Take Your Child to Work Day. I remember I was in elementary school and it was my first exposure to human resources. Lit up my world completely. And from there, I had this fire in me that I needed to be this leader. I needed to take care of the people in my classrooms and through being a line leader or the teacher's pet, anything like that. And so my interest in being a leader sparked at a young age. Because while people were playing teacher, I was playing the HR lady. True story. Sorry. So I did that. And that actually led up until college. I joined the Society of Human Resource Management. I stayed in there. I was dedicated and loyal. And they came to me and they said, we'd love for you to be the president of our chapter. I said, absolutely. I have so many ideas to make this happen. From there, I then worked with Babson College, and that's actually the number one entrepreneur school in America. So with them, I did some leadership coaching, and I recognized that there was a gap. And what I mean a gap is when the students were going through their curriculum, I would ask probing questions of how they would handle human resources topics, and they had no idea how to do so. Mm. So I then had to say, there needs to be a human resources curriculum in here. Mm-hmm. And from there, I just took hold because I was very passionate about human resources and I still am. And this is what has brought me around the world, making me get my Six Sigma black belt. I decided to take the leap from the corporate world because I want to spread my wings on a global level. And I dove into consulting and coaching internationally.
Wow, that's incredible. What's the biggest change that you've seen in regards to human resources over the last 10 years?
The biggest change is now human resources, it was once siloed. Mm-hmm. And now they have to really connect with the other departments and partner with them. And it's not only that, but human resources has to use their voice externally as well as internally. Mm-hmm. So partnering with marketing specifically to speak about that brand personality, whether it's through Glassdoor and engaging in comments there on the LinkedIn page or on the Facebook social media page. Human resources has to take a more active and engaging approach to what they're doing.
Absolutely. And is that true across the global community as well?
There's a gap. It is true. It needs to happen. When I was in Korea, it's not there yet. It hasn't caught up. And it's a struggle here in Berlin, I'm noticing as well.
So some cultures then the interesting part culturally and the differences from a socialism standpoint, from a governmental standpoint, is that HR, the benefits might be greater, and employee response and culture and how they come to work is different. And all those things play a role, I'm sure, in what you're doing.
Absolutely. Everything has been changing with the new generation coming in. It's a huge transformation in the workforce. So it's not even just the way that HR does their paperwork, but it's how they connect with the candidates, how they connect with the employees, how they bring everyone together. It's a huge transition going on right now. And the biggest struggle I see across the globe is companies are resisting that transition because they're still stuck in the mentality of the baby boomer generation.
Sure.
And how they've done things traditionally.
And baby boomers are the ones running a lot of organizations anyway at this point too, and I'm sure that influences. If you could work just from a benefits and an HR standpoint, if you could work in any country in the world, which one would it be? Where's the best place to be from an HR standpoint?
America is quite ahead.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's interesting to learn. I figured it would be like a Scandinavian country because of time off or something like that.
So I would go for time off, right? Absolutely. But what I most enjoy is in America, with my experience, is they're more open-minded to make the changes that need to be done. Mm. Granted, it's still a slow process in big organizations. The bigger, the more slower it is. Mm-hmm. But they're more open-minded. And the way that they approach their employees and they engage with them is on a whole different level than anything I've seen while I've been working abroad.
Hmm. That's interesting to learn. What is the biggest mistake that organizations make in regards to onboarding?
A lack of onboarding, not taking it serious. Absolutely. You know, they think that they spend all this money recruiting top talent, trying to win this war on talent, because honestly, it's a candidate-driven market right now. And they are investing all this money into recruiting the top talent. When they get that talent, they sign the contract. They have no idea what to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they wonder why the turnover is so high in their company. So they keep pumping money out into recruiting more talent. And it's a vicious cycle. They're not doing anything to train them and integrate them into the company.
Mm-hmm. And that it's a really great point that you're making. And I think also onboarding is more than just a training schedule. Sometimes people say, we've got a great onboarding process. It's like a colored calendar of like all the modules that you're going to watch online. And I'm like, man, that's not really onboarding.
Mm-mm. It's not at all. Onboarding, people confuse onboarding with orientation. Orientation is typically a one-time event, but it could last up to a week. That is all your paperwork and all the compliance things that make that employee official. An onboarding process lasts a few months up to 1 year. And that isn't just the paperwork. That's the training, the feedback, the check-ins, collaboration, partnering up with other people in the department, addressing their needs, their struggles, their strengths, their weaknesses. You know, where are they performing best at? How can we alter their role with their responsibilities? What trainings can we provide to them? It is an experience. It's not an event. It's true experience.
Yeah, I love that. And to think about all the new jobs that I've had over the years and what happens in that first year and how thirsty I was for more information and even asking for it in some points and other times not having the chance to, or it wasn't appropriate to, or whatever.
Exactly. The thing is managers don't carve out that time with that new employee to sit down and figure out what their goals are. They're too busy saying, this is what I need you to do. Figure it out, learn it. These are the results that I need.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a one-sided relationship and it's shutting out the talent. And that is why the turnover happens, because you're not listening to what the employees' needs are and where they want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And they just delegate and delegate. Nothing comes from it.
Yeah, no doubt. What can leaders of an organization do then to improve the process or increase retention?
Communication is key. So for me, a communication and transparency. And by doing that, you're opening yourself up more and stepping out of that manager role and stepping more into a coaching leadership role. Because at the end of the day, you want to work together to see how you can help and support one another. And it's communicating your needs, communicating feedback, checking in with the employee, seeing how you can support them, how you can develop them, how you can grow them. Maybe there's tools and resources or extra courses that they need. But also dropping down the transparency and keeping them in the loop of the project is crucial. So many people, they leave companies because they feel shut out. And I was actually one of those people. I left a company because they were shutting me out and I was human resources. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine how I felt, because I should be kept in the loop about that. And if I'm human resources and I was shut out, imagine how other people in other departments feel when they're shut out. People want to know how they're contributing. The new talent today, they want to be a part of something bigger. They want to be a part of a company that's aligned with their values, and they feel they have a sense of purpose. And to have a sense of purpose, you have to understand what's going on. You have to have that open communication and that sense of transparency.
And can you tell as a consultant how an organization is going to handle things just by the second that you walk in? An example is I was in Austin, Texas yesterday, and I was working with a group and we were having a session, and the hotel was so receptive to the staff there that was running that event. They had such a great relationship. And I thought, gosh, that leads to how successful the program is. So if we kind of relate that back to you, I imagine once you walk in the doors as a consultant, the experience that you receive from that organization probably is a direct reflection of how the employees experience.
When it's interesting you say that, when I walk through the doors of a company, I'm always smacked in the face by what the culture is like, and it's in the air. You can feel it. If there's no personality, you can absolutely feel it. And as you can sense, I'm a very energetic person. I pick up on things very quickly. And just looking around, feeling it, I can tell this is going to be an interesting experience. It's going to be a challenge to break through upper management's layer and trying to teach them something new.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're right. You can feel, you can almost taste culture in some organizations. Others, it takes a little time to dig up those, you know, elephants in the room or that type of thing. But some, you walk right into it. You can feel it right away.
Mm-hmm,
and
absolutely.
Employees can as well. So what is a misconception surrounding HR?
I think the biggest misconception is HR doesn't value the employees. HR is looking for something to use against the employees to protect the company. And that has been a misconception. Every job that I've held, telling anybody that I'm doing human resources or I'm passionate about HR, there's this look on their face. They're disgusted. Why would you choose HR, the most hated department in a company? And what I've learned throughout the companies that I've been in is once I break through the shell and I get to know my employees and I show them I genuinely do care about you, I'm not here to hurt you. I'm here, yes, to protect the company, but I'm also here to make sure that you're happy, you're enjoying your job, you're developing and you're growing. That's when they begin to trust me. Is because I show them, yes, I'm here to protect the company, but I'm also here for you as well. And I'm definitely here for both of you.
And I find that depending on the organization, HR can be looked at as kind of the bitch session room where employees, they have two employee focused of a department where they're just there to be therapists for employees. Or you'll have the other side of it, which you just described really articulately, of being too organizationally focused. And really it has to be a balance of both to be able to say, I'm an employee advocate while also thinking strategically.
Exactly. Exactly. You have to be both. And even with I've gone through where employees come to me and it's constant day in and day out and dealing with their problems. And at that point, you have to be there for them, but you also have to set boundaries and figure out a solution. who are they complaining about? How can we get them together? And how can we figure out a resolution to this?
Yeah, I believe it. So I hear that you have a funny story.
So it doesn't really relate to HR, but it relates to my traveling.
Please.
So as I travel, I pick up many different quirks, languages, of course, mannerisms. Since moving to Berlin 3 months ago now, I was living in South Korea at the time, and I was traveling Asia for the past 18 months. So anytime I go to the store, I have an interaction with someone, I immediately bow.
Oh.
I immediately bow, and when they start asking me questions, I have a mix of English, German, and Korean that I use.
Oh my gosh.
A mixture of Boston, so I'll say, oh, that's wicked awesome, right? And everyone in Germany is looking at me because not only do I bow, they ask me something, I give them a mixture of three different languages, and I hand my money to them with two hands while I'm still bowing.
Mm.
And it's just all the looks, and it happens not even with the cashier, but everywhere. And Germans, they're blunt people. Mm-hmm. They will let you know if they think you're weird. And they always think.
I love it. And so it's got to be hard to go from culture to culture, but it's also really impressive that you are able to absorb those little nuances because those make a difference.
Absolutely. So another interesting fact about me is around every 16 months, I get an itch to move somewhere new. So every 18 months, I'm in a new place. I'm hoping I can stay in Berlin longer. I really do enjoy Germany. There's gaps in the market, especially with onboarding, that I plan to stay here longer. So hopefully my South Korean nuances will rub off.
Yeah, you'll be German in no time. I'm sure there's words and things that happen that you misuse or don't even realize, or words from time to time as well. A crazy one for me, just to kind of share, is I don't think I've ever shared this on the Hot Box. This one's kind of out of control, but I was working with a bunch of people from the United Kingdom, and we were at a table, and the CEO was there, and I said that because they had a very lively personality, and I may have shared this in another podcast, but I said to them, I really love your spunk. And I'm like, you're just so spunky. I love your spunk. And little did I know what spunk meant in the United Kingdom. I don't know if anybody listening from the United Kingdom. Yeah, so you can just, it means sperm. I just said it. I figured I'd just say it directly. Yeah, so that happened. So I literally at a table with a CEO said, I love your sperm. Yeah, yeah. So how classy is that, right? So I'd rather bow with my money than make a mistake like that, I tell you. Well, good for you for being so culturally, you know, assimilating. So can you share a bold action item or takeaway for our listeners?
Yeah. Do you mean in regards to a company of how leaders can treat their employees?
Would love it.
Absolutely. The biggest thing is to drop the veil. What I found, whether it's interviewing, trying to build a relationship, running a business, it's dropping the formalities. You are not married to the policies. You are not married to the formalities. You don't need to be so professional anymore. The new generation, they are flipping the workforce on its head, and they're requiring a more personable approach. To create that personable approach, you need to show that you're more of a human instead of someone living inside of a suit behind a cubicle. So my bold takeaway is be yourself, be authentic, absolutely have some professionality around that, but be more human, be more personable. And that's how you'll build relationships and start to reduce turnover, because that will increase loyalty, engagement, and trust from your employees and your team.
Thank you. I love that. And if people wanted to get a hold of you, other companies in Berlin that need your services, other people across the globe that would like to stay connected, how can they do that?
Absolutely. So you can find me on LinkedIn, Facebook. LinkedIn and Facebook is where you can absolutely find me anytime. And my website as well, HeidiLynnCo.com. And that's where that'll connect you to the other places you can connect with me.
Perfect. Thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for sharing your stories and your experience. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Brandy.
Bye. Let's head out to our shout out.
Jacob from the Vienna Boys Choir.
Hi Brandy.
That is one of my absolute favorite shout outs ever. How cool is that? The Vienna Boys Choir saying hello to all of us here on the Strategic Hot Box. Very cool shout out. Thank you to the Vienna Boys Choir. And thank you to Heidi for being a part of our show today. It's time to kick some ass. Here is your top five. First, when thinking about the organization, assess the brand, the external brand, the digital brand, the cultural brand, how the organization is perceived by people outside. So all the way at the very beginning, before you're beginning to recruit people, that you're giving off your authentic culture of your organization. So assess what that looks like. And the second is focus on the fit of the position, the person, the human being coming in, not necessarily just filling the function. And so often we get so desperate to fill functions that we forget that this is going to be a person we have to work next to for, you know, hopefully forever. And so really focus on that human and the fit as opposed to the job function fill. Number three is that development and onboarding starts on day one. And what we hear from Heidi is that goes all the way to a year from now. And I loved how she gave us a reference of there's a difference between orientation and onboarding. Orientation is bringing somebody in the first day, filling out paperwork, doing compliance. Onboarding is emerging, is immersion, is assimilation into your culture and really having that development last throughout the year. Number four is show how the values are lived. People can feel the culture anyway, so allow them to be a part of that. Allow them to jump in and swim within the culture. Allow them to align themselves with the values of the organization. And number five, finally, solicit feedback all the time. Solicit new employee feedback, solicit ex-employee feedback, solicit current employee feedback about what we can be doing differently and how we can work together to make that happen. There's your top five, kick ass. Thank you again to the Vienna Boys Choir, and thank you to Heidi for being a part of our episode today here on the Hot Box. We love to tackle topics like HR, and if anything ever comes to you that you want us to chat about here on the Hot Box, or maybe you need to come talk to us about something, we'd love to hear from you. podcast@strategichotbox.com email, or we're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, web, anywhere that you want to be to reach out and social media interact. And as you know, the podcast is available on all the different podcast channels with you're listening or watching us here live today with you. So thank you for being a part of it. And if you have any feedback for us, head out to www.strategichotbox.com and let us know what's going on. And there's lots of resources and things for you to download and be a part of there as well. Until I see you again, get out there and kick some ass.